want to read along with us this morning, Romans chapter 4. We're going to read speaking of Abraham's faith here, verse 17. Verse 16, let us go there. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is the father of the spiritual seed of God. We're the children of God, we're the descendants, we're the children of Abraham also. We've descended from Abraham in that we have the faith of Abraham. And we want to stress that salvation was the same, always has been, for those in the Old Testament as in the New. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. They, that he should come, and we, that he has, and pay for our sins. And so it is of faith that it might be by grace, and thereby to all of the seed. When God promised Abraham that he would make many of his seed, he would make many mighty nations, well, the lawful seed of Abraham was only the Jews. But we were included in that promise as Abraham's seed. And therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, and we are the children of Abraham by faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, speaking of Abraham, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Excuse me. Now this is the essence of saving faith. It is believing that what he has promised, he not only will, but is able to perform. I may promise you something, believing that I can perform it. And you may have absolute confidence in my sincerity and my honesty, and yet refuse to act upon that promise of mine because you simply can't believe that I will be able to do it. Not doubting my sincerity or my honesty, but doubting my ability. And so it is. Like many people, we think especially of our children. Many times they will promise us, I'll never do this or that again. We say, well, I can't believe that. I don't believe you're able to live that way. I don't believe you're able to say no. And that may be very, we may come to that place where we absolutely have no confidence in someone's ability to do what they promise. But not so with the Lord. And that is, our faith is in the promise. Abraham's faith was in the promise of God, not in his own promise to God. Boy, what a difference there is in that. Eh? Isn't that right? So many people think that their salvation depends on what they promised God. But the Bible says here, it is of faith that it might be by grace. And Abraham believed the promise of God, being strong in faith, and thereby giving much glory to God. When you believe God promises, it gives glory to Him. And he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And that's when you will confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Once you are fully persuaded that he can even save you, your soul, from the just penalty of your sins. Real saving faith brings rest. I think perhaps we ought to change the words. At least we ought to know when we're singing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. We ought to say also, standing has in it a sense of work, you know. But we are resting on the promises, standing on the surety of the word, and resting on the promises. Christ has promised me eternal life. And so there I rest from any attempt to work to deserve it and earn it, because he's promised to give it. And therefore I rest in that sense. And as far as paying for my sins. And I rest as far as worrying about, if I fully believe and am persuaded that he is able to perform what he's promised. That'll bring you rest every time, no matter what promise it is that you might have in mind or be concerned with. And we are convinced through and through that he can and that he will do all that he has promised to do. So we want to think about some of these things he's promised. What is it that we've been convinced of? Fully persuaded that he's able to do. Well, he's promised to cleanse us from all of our sins and remove not only the penalty, but the guilt itself. Hebrews 7:25 says he is able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto the Father by him. He's able. And that's what they come to him believing. That he is able. Not only to partially pardon them, but to deliver them completely and fully to the uttermost. Acts 10:43 tells us there, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth on him hath or shall receive remission of sins. Not only to deliver us from the penalty, but to deliver us from this, even having done them, having committed them. I mean, they're going to be wiped out. They're going to be taken away. Not only is the guilt, but the fact is taken away. We are made righteous. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Now, who can get scarlet out of pure white linen? Double dyed red. Though your sins be double dyed red, I will make them as white as snow. So he's promised to deliver us, to cleanse us. But not only do we need cleansed from our sins taken away. We need that, all right, but we need something else in their place. We need righteousness, the righteousness of God. We don't need just nothing. We don't need the balance, the accounts, you know, all the debts wiped out. We need something in our favor. We need something on the balance sheet, you know. We need something reckoned to our account. We need the keeping of the law. Not only wiping away the breaking of it, we need the doing of it. And He's promised not only to cleanse us of our sins, but to make us righteous, to provide righteousness for us. And in Romans 5:19, just over there, hold your place here in Romans. We'll be turning to that and reading from these verses, these chapters here, some more in the message. But in Romans 5:19, we are told, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." God has promised to make us righteous. Not just to do away with our unrighteousness, but to make us righteous. Now, how's He going to do that? How are we made righteous? Well, first of all, not the way you might think. Never that way. There's those who say, "Well, I think that God will look upon me as righteous if I'm baptized and I go to church and I don't hurt, I help the poor and I don't steal and so forth." But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, first of all now, we know that what things soever the law saith, the Ten Commandments, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So it's not by keeping the law. And it's not by works of righteousness, such as baptism, church ordinances, or helping the poor, or whatever might be considered righteous deeds. But Titus 3:5 tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. And so, He's promised to provide righteousness for us. I believe He's able to do it. Jesus Christ did not come just to die to pay for our sins. He came first of all to live, to provide righteousness for us. And secondly, He took away the sinful deeds by taking them upon Himself. He just gave us His righteousness and took our sinfulness. And God looks upon Him as the sinner and us as the righteous through faith. Boy, that's asking a lot of God, isn't it? But He says He'll do it, and He's willing, and He wants to, and that's how He saves our souls. And I won't tell you, it's all right with God, it's all right with me. He said He would provide our righteousness. And so Jesus came, and He lived without sin, and He kept every jot and tittle of the law. Now you can say, well, even to the dotting of the I, but in the Roman, in the Hebrew language, as in the written Hebrew language, there were little, you know, the dotting of the I doesn't change the meaning of the I, it simply identifies it a little more clearly. But there are little marks called jots and tittles that change the whole meaning of the symbol that you see. But Jesus kept the law of God absolutely perfectly to provide righteousness for we who could not keep it at all. So He's promised to cleanse us of sin and provide righteousness for us, and that's what He has done. It's by grace, through faith, that we receive this righteousness. No flesh, we are told over and over in the Word of God, shall glory in the presence of God. Nobody going to boast about they'd done more than someone else, that they were better. But that they're there simply because of the mercy and graciousness of Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ in taking care of the problem of our guilt and providing righteousness which we did not have. And so He promised that we might be made righteous. Turn with me to Romans 4 again, and we'll see how anyone gets righteousness. Well, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. God imputeth righteousness without works. God gives it to you. And not only gives it to you, imputes it, inputs it, makes you righteous. Think about that. Over in verse 23 and 24, beyond where we stopped reading in the beginning, verse 22 said, when Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God himself, Jesus, the life he lived, God in the flesh, while he was here on earth, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is, and you might put imputed, which is imputed by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he promised to take away our sin and to replace it with his Son's righteousness. Now, I believe he's able to do that. I'm fully persuaded that that's what he has and will do. But more than that, he promised to give us his Holy Spirit to guide us, to convince us of sin, to teach and instruct us, and to give us power to resist Satan and our own flesh, and overcome for him and for ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 1, wonderful truth, everyone should have a knowledge of. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, after that your sins were cleansed and your the righteousness of Christ had been imputed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or first payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Everybody that's saved has a down payment, the first payment of heaven. and eternal life. They've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them to guide them into all truth, to show them what the Word of God means and what God would be pleased for us to do and not to do, and to convince us of the promises and blessings that He has for us. So He gives us His Spirit. He's promised to do that. I know He's done that for me, to free us from the dominion and the power of sin and Satan in the world. Can't any more say, the devil made me do it. Before you're saved, he can make you do it, but after you're saved, he can't. Sin shall have no more dominion over you after that you're saved. And this is according to his promise in John 14, when he said to his disciples through verse chapter 16, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but after I'm gone, I will give you my Spirit. And just as he promised salvation, the deliverance from sin and the righteousness that we had to have to go to heaven and we didn't have ourselves, then he promised to give us the Holy Spirit to keep us on the right track and to show us how to bring glory to God and to live above the world and save ourselves from much judgment and sorrow, and maybe win our loved ones and our friends unto salvation themselves. He said, I'll give you my Spirit to show you how to live this time in between, and to give you power and to comfort you and everything. Isn't it wonderful that he just doesn't leave us on our own? Then he's promised to keep us from falling. Keep us. He said, I'll keep you from falling. He has to deliver on what he's promised. The only way he can deliver on what he's promised, that I've been fully persuaded that he was going to deliver, is if he keeps me from falling. Because he promised, whosoever believeth in me shall never die, shall never perish. Now the only way that's going to be so is if he keeps me from falling. The only way he can know that anyone is ever going to make it. But you say, well, he knows everything. That's right. The only way he can guarantee it is if he keeps us from falling. Because we would all fall. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll turn with me there, then we'll turn to John chapter 3. You want some ammunition? For those who are afraid they could lose their salvation, turn first to Hebrews chapter 10. Remember now all it says there in Romans chapter 4. Abraham was saved by trusting in God's promise that he would deliver him. Let us draw near, verse 22, Hebrews 10, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. What do we have to be sure of? That we believe, that we do trust the Lord, that we are fully persuaded that he's going to deliver according to his promise. Let us draw near with true heart and full assurance of faith. That's what's required on our part. Having our conscience, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And I believe, of course, that's the Word of God. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Because he'll keep his promise. He is faithful that promised. And our going to heaven depends on his faithfulness. If I finally talked one of my children into going out in water over their head with me by persuading them that I knew what I was doing, that no way would I let anything happen to them. And I got them out there in that water over their head simply by their trusting in me to deliver them and to keep them from drowning. And they drowned. Who would have failed, them or me? They drowned. It wouldn't have been their fault, would it? If they drowned, it wouldn't be their failure to save themselves. It would have been my failure to keep my promise that nothing would happen to them. And I deliver them safely back on shore. And so it is that I'm trusting in. So you in a true heart, have full assurance of faith, and he'll keep the promise. Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That is salvation for the soul of man. Once you're fully persuaded, he'll do what he said he would do, and he's able to perform it. So he'll keep us from falling. Jude 24 tells us, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now in John's gospel, let's read a few from there. I love these verses of scripture. We mentioned John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. Everlasting life. They who are saved are those that are fully persuaded he is able to perform. And they will have life everlasting. And then in verse 36 of John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life. And in chapter 4 and verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Chapter 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so these are wonderful promises. Chapter 6 and verse 37. Hold fast your profession of faith. It said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's glorious. That is wonderful. That's thrilling. That's exciting. That doesn't make you want to go out and sin your heart away, your life away, because you can't ever lose your salvation. It makes you want to sin less than ever to glorify God who said such a thing and promised such a thing even more. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's why Paul could say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, the salvation of my soul. Not only has he promised to keep us from falling, but to come back and call us unto himself. You know, I used to think, wouldn't it be wonderful to be standing right here, sitting in church, at least to be alive, and the Lord come and we'd hear, because we're saved, that shout. Come on up hither! and go like that, and in the twinkling of an eye be changed and get that new body and everything, and all at once find ourselves in the midst around the Lord Jesus Christ there in the clouds. Grandma and Grandpa and Peter and Paul and all the others that have been saved. Mom and Dad and whoever it might be. I said, boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? But you know, I don't believe it's any less wonderful for all those that Jesus has come for one at a time. And He just promised to come back for us. Said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. And in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. And lo, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I, He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you unto Myself. So that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I'm the only way, but I'm going to come back for you. Every one of you that have trusted in Me, I'm going to come back for you. Bible tells us He's going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the last trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. That's the next event on God's calendar. We can look forward to it if we're saved. If we're not, you're going to be the one that's described as being in the bed with a saved person, and they're going to all at once be gone, and you're going to be left. Be working on the job by a saved person, all at once they're going to be gone, you're going to be left. And we shall all be changed. And this mortal will put on immortality according to the promise of God. I say with John over there in John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appeareth, you know, when He comes, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, in all of His glory. And I can hardly wait. One part of me can hardly wait. There's a part of me that doesn't want to die, and that's right. But there's a part of me that can't wait till it's all over and I'm there with the Lord. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more partying. But in the meantime, He said, in the meantime, I promised you all these things. I cleansed you of your sin if you trusted Me. I've given you the righteousness of My Son. I've given the Holy Spirit to guide you. And I'll keep you from falling. But I'm going to leave you here for a little while. I'm going to come and get you. But in that little while, can't you live for Me instead of yourself? In just that little while, can't you do what I want you to do instead of what you want to do? In just that little while, can't you stand coming out from among them and being separate? Can't you stand dressed a little different and talking different and not going some of the places they go because it would displease Me and hurt your testimony with others? Don't you want to be used? Can't you just surrender to Me, go to church and worship Me, and let Me use you to tell somebody else that I died for them too, and that I'll come again for them when I come, if they'll trust Me? In the meantime, hold the fort, spread the word, warn them of Me, forsake not gathering together and worshiping Me, and I'll strengthen you, and I'll guide you, and I'll bless you, I'll comfort you. The world will hate you, and they'll cause you all the trouble they can cause you, but I'll be in you all the time, giving you the grace and the strength that you need to overcome and to endure. And you all just keep looking up, and when I'm ready, I'll come back, and I'll just take you all out of here. Give you everything that I promised.
He's got all he took. While we stand, and as we sing, as we pray and wait, I want you to search your heart and mind. What is the salvation of your soul depend upon? First of all, are you saved? If you have sinned and broken God's laws, you're condemned. And when we speak of being saved, it means saved from having to suffer that condemnation throughout eternity. Pay for those sins forever. And if you want to be saved, if you need to be saved, what will it require of you? Sincere and true heart. And being fully persuaded God means what he says and will give you eternal life and will give you his spirit and will come and get you, take you home to glory someday. Being fully persuaded that he's able to perform what he's promised. Promise to cleanse you of all sin and unrighteousness. Promise to give you the righteousness of his Son. Promise to beget you unto himself. Give you eternal life. His own kind of life. Bring you into his very own family. Make you his child. All through being fully persuaded that Jesus did die for your sin. And that God has accepted that for you. Or will. But the salvation is at the very point of being fully persuaded. Believing without doubt. When you believe without doubt, you'll want to confess that, will you? I've sought God with a true heart. Somehow he's given me to believe without doubt that his Son died for my sins and that I have eternal life because of that. Now I want to confess that I believe in Jesus Christ with all my heart. And I believe I have that eternal life because of God's promise. Father, say, is there someone that God has fully persuaded that Jesus died for their sin, and you want to come and confess that faith as we wait and sing?
198. Soul of the exile.